Right. We just learned in Jewish history that there are conflicting sources regarding what happened with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and I want us to take a few minutes to discuss how we should approach conflicts between secular or archaeological sources and sources in Talmud. If we were just to open the Talmud and study religiously and be pious Jews, then we might be inclined to say, this is what it says in Talmud, don't confuse me with any other sources, this is what I know, this is what I believe, leave me alone. And I'm not sure that's the approach our sages wanted us to take. Firstly, you have the Rambam, the famous letter of the Rambam's son, that says that people who try to ignore facts in the name of piety will ultimately find themselves questioning everything they learn. You can't just ignore things and say, I believe the Talmud and don't bother me with facts. Secondly, you have the Rambam in his introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, who says, when you read sources in Chazal that tell you something that that's hard to understand or difficult to accept as being logical, don't be quick to say, well, if our sages said it, it must be true. What you should say is our sages are smart people, and if they said it, they must have known what they were talking about. But I don't know what they're talking about. There's a balanced approach where on the one hand, I have to be honest and say if I have questions, I have questions. On the other hand, I have respect for the people because I know they were smart people. So I'm going to say, I'll leave it hanging. It's a question mark, which is what we just said. And the third point to notice is we have one glaring example of a contradiction between our sages and the history books, and that is with regard to Vespasian, with regard to the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, where Chazal describe how when the Romans were finally able to destroy the second temple, the second Beit HaMikdash, they charged the Holy of Holies, they brought a pig and they slaughtered it there, they brought a woman of ill repute, and they did disgusting things in the Holy of Holies. They blasphemed there, they kicked the altar, and they called it Fox, Fox, you're a king, I'm a king, why don't you take me on? All kinds of descriptions of wild and disgraceful behavior. So that's what we see in Talmud. You open up Josephus, and you see a totally different description. The Romans didn't want to destroy the temple. They begged the Jews, let's make peace with you. They were respectful of the temple. So again, if you would ask me, and what I heard a rabbi once say is, while the Romans weren't interested in recording history, including in their records of history, all their crass behavior. So they recorded it in a more polite, dignified way. But then you read the commentaries, you read the Maharal, you read the Malbim, and you see that they gave a lot of credence to Josephus' recounting of the history. The Maharal had a lot of respect for Chazal, much more than I could. And yet the Maharal didn't just say, well, if this is what our sages said, it must be right, and Josephus made it up. No, the Maharal says, how are we to understand Chazal if the history books write differently? And then he says, it could be Chazal were telling us what he was thinking in his heart of hearts, and not necessarily what he actually did. It could be that when Chazal worded it so harshly, they were telling you, you should know. On the outside, he might have been behaving one way, but deep down inside, this is what he was thinking. So the Maharal takes a course that's very different than what I would have thought. I would have said, what do you mean? Chazal say this is what happened, that's what happened. Why am I so bothered by Josephus? The Maharal doesn't say that. Neither does the Malbim. You also have Rabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi, in his commentary on Tractate Rosh Hashanah, where the Talmud describes this part of history. And the Talmud says, Artachshasta, Hashverosh, Koresh, they overlap. Sometimes they're interchangeable names. And when he is dealing with the question that the Persian history books don't seem that they're the same person, he doesn't say, well, it's all a fake. The Talmud's right. He doesn't say that. So that's why if you hear me doubting how to understand what we're learning in the Jewish sources versus the secular sources, it's because the earlier commentaries have taught us that we shouldn't be so quick to assume that what our sages said should be taken literally. we treat it with respect, yet we also treat the history books and the secular sources with respect, and we try to work out to understand when we take which one at face value. That's why you hear me looking at it and saying, I'm not sure. I learned from the Maharal, I learned from the Malbim. Again, you guys can look this up with regards to the story of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. That's a glaring example, which is discussed by the commentaries.